Hello, and welcome to episode 87 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of the comic series The Red Mask from Mars, and this week I'm joined by comic artist, writer and creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Writer, Down the Tubes contributor, tinker, tailor, soldier and spy, it's Tony Esmond.
Hello.
And this week we're joined... I almost made it then. And this week, we're also joined by the creator behind the semi-autobiographical superhero book, Periwinkle. That was a mouthful. It's Susie Gander.
Hello.
You're our Susie.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
And Susie, I'd like to apologise once again for claiming that your name was made up. It's not a made up name.
I'm not having it, sorry. No, you've got to do better than that.
It's almost a weekly thing that a guest comes on and then Tony immediately apologises.
Apologises.
It's becoming quite common, to be fair.
In my defence, I had a lovely, like last night. I was Susie Hampton. It was very posh. It was like Hampton Court, you know, and all that. And then, but that also means a man, you know what, as well, apparently. So, Gander's not too bad.
I've never heard of that.
I'm going to embarrass my dad now, but so sorry, Dad. But he sort of goes around and says, oh, well, I'm Cliff with the Big Hampton. So it's a bit embarrassing. Okay.
That's dad jokes for you.
Yeah, it's
true. I've been prone to a few dad jokes. They're classics, always classics.
Yeah. I got one, someone today. There was like someone leaving work and there was a lady who wasn't very well. And I said, oh, yeah, he's leaving Friday as well. And she just walked straight into it. Robinson Crusoe. Fucking terrible. There you go.
Welcome to Dad Joke Week on the Comics Podcast.
My favourite dad joke is when I'm with my son and we go and see a band, I tell one of his friends that I'm quite musical and they go, what do you play? And I say, I play on the linoleum, and nobody gets it.
Nobody.
No, I don't get it.
Wait. No. Oh my life.
I'm not going to explain it. Can't explain jokes.
No.
I'll tell you later, Susie.
Okay. I can make out. That's the apology. Fine.
Well, if it's an apology, perhaps we could get Paul Cornell to read it out. That'd be fine.
Oh, my life. Anyway.
Yeah. Moving on.
Anyway, back to the show. So, this week, Susie's joined us for a lovely chat. Haven't you, Susie?
I have indeed. Yeah. I have. Thank you very much.
You don't need to keep saying thank you.
I know, I can't.
You won't be there by the end of it.
No, it's in my nature.
You'll be texting us saying, can I go now? I've had enough.
Yeah, I'll be like.
Expect to see that text in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm already typing it. I'm already there.
Oh, God. Right. I have to do some skillful editing. Anyway, like any storytelling medium, when done right, comics can convey any subject matter. Whether it's something tragic, uplifting, inspiring, thought-provoking, sexy, that's probably what Tony Esmond would say. A good comic can inform, educate, and in some ways truly help when it comes to some of life's more difficult issues. We'll be talking a bit more about like how comics handle real-life issues in a bit, and probably in our irreverent way. But before we do, let's kick off with a little bit of Periwinkle talk.
Okay. Right.
Now, Susie's a friend of the show, and anyone who's seen the awesome bit of artwork that accompanies this episode on our
Podbean
page.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. You're welcome.
Nice. A very nice surprise. So anyone who's seen that will know she's a cracking artist too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hopefully, stop saying thank you.
Sorry.
I'm not used to people being grateful. hopefully a lot of you out there have checked out a comic Periwinkle. It's not only a hugely personal story, but I think it's got a wonderful sense of adventure, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, Susie. It seamlessly mixes the real world with like the fictional comic book world, which I don't think is an easy feat. But rather than us just go on and on about it, do you want to tell the listeners more about Periwinkle and how it came to be?
So basically in December 2014, I was officially diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is sort of a blood cancer, which came out of nowhere. So I was really quite surprised about that. And I think the best way, I'm not very good at talking, so the best way for me.
Great podcast guest already.
Not that my husband would say that, but there we go. the best way for me to channel it, so it was almost out of my head, and it necessarily not having to not to worry about it, but I could put it down somewhere and it was sort of out of my mind for a bit. It was kind of like my own sort of image therapy, I guess. I could just get it out, get it somewhere else. And it's just an outlet for me to put it somewhere. And I actually really enjoy doing it because I'd have my chemotherapy on a Thursday. I'd be okay maybe Friday, Saturday it would kick in. And then Sunday I'd feel absolutely crap. So I had the sort of Friday and Saturday to maybe work on a little bit of page, a little bit of art, something like that. And then there was the first one we did was about 30 pages in total, and then I stopped because I started to get quite unwell. I had been to hospital and that for a week, and I thought, no, I can't keep this up because I was working at the same time, so I thought I'm gonna have to stop just for a bit. And then I didn't pick it up again for a while. Chemotherapy finished, just concentrated on getting better. And then what happened was I had a couple of people come back to me and sort of say, oh, you know, what's next, what's the next page about, how does this end? And I had some lovely people coming back telling me that it was actually helping them as well, and that's why they wanted to read along. So I thought, maybe I could try doing this as like a Kickstarter and get this printed so we can give this out for people. So I took the plunge and ran a Kickstarter, which was interesting. It was fantastic. We were backed big time. So really grateful. Big thank you and shout out to everybody that backed, met the creator, and everything of that is going on printing. So any other costs like the website, etc., is just stuff out of my own pocket. All of that is just printing and printing only. I just thought I'm going to redraw it. Or I am redrawing it, because the ones that I had done previously are obviously a bit shaky, because what I was going through at the time. So I'm just in the process of redrawing it all, aiming to hopefully have it printed. I did say July on that, but I might have to push it back a little bit more and maybe aim for more sort of October.
Right.
So, but it will be this year anyway. I will have it finished this year. I'm very, very lucky to have Robin Jones. He's on doing the lettering for us as well, and he is doing an absolutely smashing job.
He is doing a great job on the lettering, isn't really? He? I reread it today, and he's a good lad for doing that. It looks really good.
Smashing. He's making it look so much better.
No.
Honestly, he is so, so good, and he's so quick as well. He is like the Flash of the lettering world. I don't know how he does it. Because I get home and I'll get home from work about 6:30, then I'll start drawing, and I'm a slow drawer, I'm very slow, and I normally sort of finish it about midnight, and then I'll send him over the page, and then it'll be in my inbox in the morning, done. I'll be like, what time did you go to bed?
Wow.
If I'm sending it over, that's so, big shout out and thank you, Tim, he's an absolute legend for doing that.
I don't think he actually sleeps, actually.
No.
I don't think he does. No. I think he's a superhero.
That's quite a work ethic you got there, Susie.
Definitely.
Thank you.
A lot of people could learn from that. There's a lot of people who are pros who don't do that much work. You know.
Yeah.
Well, do a full day and then another 6 hours or whatever for a comic.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Sometimes I have a break. Like tonight, obviously, we're doing a lovely podcast with you gentlemen.
Are you doing another one?
Yeah, I'll do one after. I do several. I podcast around. Like tonight, for example, go to cinema or something like that. And I'll try and fill it in sort of during the week. So I've got the weekends to be with Chris, my husband, and to sort of, do the fun things. Not like that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Susie, already you're my favourite guest ever. I just like to point out.
Before I get in there, before you do.
Don't say that.
That's rough.
So I know your husband. Was he sans beard when? Because he's got a little bit of beard in the comic, hasn't he? Was that what his beard was like then? Did you sort of?
Do you know he's going to be so happy that you brought this up, because he said to me, he said, "Can you mention my beard?" Because
What, tonight?
Yeah, he said, you've got to get about my beard on the podcast. It's his pride and joy, that thing. And I tell you, that more product goes in that beard than my hair. Honestly, it's insane.
As it should, awesome.
But, yeah, so shout out to that. God, Chris's beard. Yeah, I know, it's terrible. But no, to be fair, one of the things in the office, because we work in the same building, Chris and I, and one of the things in the office is about who has the biggest beard. And they said, and everyone said, there's no point in even doing this competition because the ginger guy would have won it.
Mighty. We appreciate a good beard on this show.
We do. We like.
He's done really well.
We're 2/3 beard here.
Yeah. I have an inability to grow a beard. So.
Oh, every man can, Dan. Every man can.
Well, rarely do I need to shave. I just wait for a strong wind. Yeah, just sort it out for me.
So, I take it when you started drawing it, he didn't have a beard. He's only been a recent. That's where I was going with that. To be fair.
Oh yeah, sorry, I went off on a tangent.
That's all right.
Yeah, no, he just had like a little kind of, you know, the little line thing that you have just done. I don't know what it's called. Whatever that thing is. And then over time, it just. He always said from the day. I mean, we've been together for 12 years, and he always said that he wanted to grow a beard. And I just thought, I'll sort it, I'll do it. Because he shaved as well. He shaved his whole head and everything for charity during the whole thing. So the whole lot came off. And then that's when the beard grew from there. So it was kind of, that might have been his own therapy. It was like, get it all off and grow it back.
So with the work process on the first one, has that changed when you did the pages the second time round?
You've redone it, haven't you?
Yeah, you've like learned from what you did then. Before, there's a better way of doing that. I know he was going through different circumstances, but were you like traditional when you first did it and you moved to digital?
I kind of did little sketches, but I've always been a bit sort of on the more digital side of things. I know that's a sort of funny area, but no, I enjoy it. But I used the Wacom Intuos before, and then what happened was I indulged and got a Cintiq, and I've been using the Cintiq, and I think that's just improved things massively. And I know it sounds really silly because it's just a bit of equipment, but it feels like I'm drawing on a bit of paper, if you know what I mean, rather than looking at the screen and drawing on a bit of plastic. But also, I think this is good. I might be going a bit out here now, but before cancer, I was always worried about, is this going to look right? What are people going to think about it? And then I'd be very, I'm sure Dan from the Raynard City days, I was quite safe with my color palettes and things, and I was quite sort of not much tone in there, not much in there. And this time I thought, sod it, just go for it, you know. Okay. And it seems to be working out well. I hope it seems to be working out a bit better, a bit more colorful compared to what I was doing before.
We've known each other like kind of in comics wise for quite a while.
Yeah, a long time.
We started doing Raynard City with Will Rob Turner.
Yeah,
I think that's how we met each other, and then we've kind of like bounced stuff off each other for years.
Yeah,
so we did an MCM quite a while ago, I think.
Yeah, that was fun. And I nearly broke my wrist drawing about 100 people as foxes for the day.
Furries again.
Yeah, it's just couldn't do it.
They're like a different crowd completely. Not every crowd. I'm not knocking them.
No, I think they're brilliant. Yeah. I don't even want hate mail, do I?
No, it's a real subset of cosplaying.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Or a sex subset.
You said that, not I. Sarah, you can speak to Tony as you wish.
Stay quiet.
Yeah. Looks up Dan's mobile number, prepares to read it out in the air as mine. I think your colour work's really good, Susie. It's something I was impressed with, especially the grenade thing you did recently. Mm. Really nice, the way that you used the colour on the grenade inside the body. I thought it looked really good. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So very much.
What is, kind of give us a pitch on Periwinkle as a comic and a character?
Yeah.
The readers haven't read it.
She is, she can be anyone. I know it sounds really daft, but she can be, it's you, basically. It's how you face things, and it's just your inner confidence. I know it seems really silly, but do you remember the film Inner Space?
Yes.
Is that right? Am I thinking about the right film? You know, where it goes inside the body and stuff like that.
Yep.
It's kind of like that. She's going in, she's kicking ass and she's fighting it for you, but she's a representation of how you think you would be.
Okay.
She's kind of your heroic subconsciousness.
Yeah, that's the word. Exact words I'm looking for. Yeah. Okay. I told you I was very good.
Well, I got most of that off your website, to be fair. So.
Yeah, I can write it, just can't speak it. But obviously, she's a much slimmer and more, you know, voluptuous version of me. She's how I wish I was. But that was kind of what I was trying to get across. And I won't name names or anything like that, but I had a young lady message me and say that she was in the hospital, and unfortunately her nan, you know, tragically she'd passed away from cancer, and she sent me this picture, and she'd drawn it while she was at the hospital, just to keep her mind off things, and it was Periwinkle, but it was her nan as Periwinkle.
Oh God!
And the colour, you know, the colour had changed of the outfit. It was representative of the cancer, obviously, that the grandmother had gone through. You know, older lady. But that is what it was about.
Yeah.
And I actually called my mum that day and my dad. And I just cried because I thought that's it. I'm happy. That's if not, yeah. I'm not to happy. You know, I don't mean happy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's. If that's made a difference to that one person,
yeah, it's all worth it now, isn't it?
That's what matters. And that's,
well done.
Kind of, I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, comics have kind of that kind of angle where they can deliver so many messages and talk to as Vince said, a lot more eloquently than I did just then in the intro. they can cover so much kind of territory, and the stuff like the Singing Dragon comics.
Yeah,
I'd been away from that kind of comic for such a long time, and when we went to the press launch at
it
was kind of a bit of eye opener. I completely just forgot about this kind of thing, and these comics are so good at it.
There's so much emotion you can and meaning you can portray from one image to the next, isn't there? There really is.
Yeah.
You know, there's no other medium like it for that. I think
we had a guess then, like kind of comics can kind of slip under the guard of people. They'd put a barrier up of like, well, this I kind of know what I'm talking about, I know what I'm doing, and then you'd read a comic and before you know it, you'd be taking off new information that you might have kind of not if you'd have read a leaflet in a doctor's office.
Absolutely. And that was part of the reason I did this as well, because of my age at the time. It was a bit of a debate of should I go in the children's ward or should I go in the...
Oh, really?
Yeah, because the bracket is quite large, actually, to be considered to, you know, a young adult slash child. It goes right up to the age of sort of 26. No, I was 20,
wow.
Just
okay.
Bordering on that line. And it was sort of like, where should we put me? I ended up in the adult ward. But, you know, and it just got me thinking about those kids, because what happened was I just got given piles and piles of books and leaflets and information, which is great. Everything in there is great, don't get me wrong, but it's so much to read through, and you've got so much going through your head already. And obviously the other way around, the parents were the ones reading that and taking that in and having to understand all of that. And I think part of it was, well, how could a poor kid possibly understand what's going on? And it was like, how can we put it in a way that also a child would understand as well? You know, a kid could pick up this book and that would be their superhero, you know, or their, you know, whatever their version of them is, that can help them through it. You know, like the things like, you know, in the children's wards, they cover the chemotherapy bags with, I don't know if you've seen these, so it's like sort of plastic with, and it's got, they pick their superhero. So you could have Wonder Woman or you could have Superman or whoever, and you'd have their symbol on it, and they would cover the bag. Yeah, so that, you know, then it's their superhero juice rather than, you know, calling it chemo.
Nice. Yeah.
So it's just something along those lines, really. Or if they can maybe read this and think, okay, because one of the things that does happen, one of the things they give you, it makes your we go bright red, which is obviously kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a kid, you think, oh my god, you know, if you're not understanding it, and then so just to have that, you know, a page, there is a panel in there. Which will eventually be redrawn. Just like with the joke about that, joking that it's red and sort of saying, come on, come on, everybody, have a look, it's red, you know, that kind of thing.
That's just what Periwinkle, the comic, does as well, though. I mean, it's not, you're obviously dealing with quite a serious subject, but there's a real, there's a lightness to it, there's a fun, I mean, you know, at its base, it stems from the subject of cancer, but this is a fun comic. Do you know what I mean? And normally people would say the word cancer and they wouldn't think of, you know, fun, a fun comic. Whereas this definitely, and I think because you've gone in this route, it helps more. Does that make sense? You know, people are more likely to read along with the adventure and also learn something from it. Like you say, you know, you're making something light of that particular thing, but someone's wee turning red. But people will learn that as well. You know, rather than just saying, this will do this to you, you know, you're making a joke, and then people are like, oh, right, okay, I understand now.
I'm so glad that you said that, and you sort of, that's coming across, because that's one of the things, I didn't want it to be too depressing, you know, and it was sort of like, how can I mix the two together? So, I'm really, thank you for saying that, I'm really pleased.
Was there a lot that, like, you got it out, was there certain stuff you got out of your system as well? Doing it, do you think it was sort of cathartic in that way as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd have been sitting and stewing on it and thinking, it just would have been. I'm one of those people, I'll sit and I'll procrastinate over something for ages and I'll worry about something. So, if it was on the bit of paper and it was out of my head, then it's gone.
Yeah,
and it's then you know, and then you are thinking, how can I make a joke out of it instead? How can I make this, not necessarily a positive
thing, we deal with things,
but
humor, don't we?
Sorry, go on.
Go on, Suze.
No, I forgot what I was going to say now.
Oh, sorry. Well, sorry, go on. Before this started, you were kind of, you kind of wanted to move away from where I'd sit and do your own comic, and you was kind of firing ideas back at me, back and forth saying, I want to do a comic. I've got this idea or that idea, but you were never really that enthused by it. And then this obviously happened, and it was kind of like, this is what I can do. And you'd kind of found your meaning to do the comic. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, 100%. I was thinking about that today, actually, that anything that I ever tried, it never really went anywhere. I'm not a writer, 100%.
Well, you are.
You are, I've got to say. Well,
this is experience, I think. So this is an experience that I can pull from. But if I just had to write something, if I hadn't, you know, just something out of the blue, like one of the things that I tried, it was called Elf. I can't even say her own name, Elfira, I think I called it. And the whole idea was it was going to be this woman who her emotion was portrayed by music, and then she used that. It was like a special kind of, you know, magic, and then the music, it went nowhere. It was just stupid in the end.
I think most ideas go that way, though. I know certainly most of mine, that when you first think of them, they're the best thing ever, and then the more you think about it, the more you think, this is ridiculous.
And that happened with everything, and I think this is the only thing that kept, but again, like I said, it was a therapy so, you know, I had to keep going to it, and it's still a therapy now because I haven't finished it. You know, even the first one that I was working on, because I, you know, stopped it and then restarted it, redrawing it, I still haven't finished it. So I think when it will be quite an occasion when that last page is drawn and that final bit is signed off on, because that would be the end of it for me.
How many pages are you aiming at for it?
Currently 42.
Okay, that's a good number, isn't it, for a collection? Yeah.
So that would be a one-off, you know, that's it, it's done. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do after that. I don't know.
So you've essentially drawn them all, and you're redrawing them, is that right? Or are there a few at the end you haven't done yet, or...?
I drew 30.
Right, okay.
With what I know what I wanted to do for the other pages, but then I thought, what is the point in me drawing them again from here? I might as well just start from the beginning, you know, with the everyone with the Kickstarter and everything. I wanted to also want to ensure people that, you know, they've invested into something. I want to show them this is what you're getting from your investment. You know, I want you to see this is the good stuff you're getting. I don't want them to see the previous stuff, which is a bit shaky and a bit, you know.
Usually I don't advocate people going back, but obviously it's a bit different in your situation. Did you find it galling having to kind of go back and think, right, I've got to start again? Or was it...
No, I'm loving it.
Oh, okay,
I'm,
nice
honestly,
one.
I'm loving it because I'm looking at something in a different. Because obviously, my mind wasn't in the right place at the time either. So I'm looking at something differently now. Like, one of the things I'm looking at is maybe changing the way I've portrayed the actual cancer itself. Obviously, okay. that's not on the website yet. So I'm not going to say anything on here, but I'll probably ask you guys offline and see what you think. So I don't want to ruin anything.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's just little things like that, and maybe extra panels I had to put in for a page to make sense, and that would look better from a different angle. Yeah. I've been watching a lot of videos on like, you know, since joining the page, actually the Facebook page. You know, I asked you about, was it Tony asked you about inking, and you sent me over
video. Yeah, I think it was Lambo that recommended that to me, because I asked and he recommended one.
Mark Lamming, for anyone that wonders who Lambo is.
We've now called him Lambo. Yeah, we decided on it today, and I said I would start calling him it today. I'm being encouraged to do badness by Vanguard over there. That's what's happening.
I like Lambo. He's a genius as well, by the way.
Very
absolute
good
genius.
Yeah, he knows.
Absolute jealousy. I'm like, every time he posts something, I'm like, how? But no, it's brilliant. And so I've just, stuff like that. And obviously, I can't now change the style of Periwink. I can't suddenly have all this inking and everything in it.
Yeah.
But watching the videos is helping me learn a lot more about it. And I can't remember who else I was watching. Michael Turner, rest his soul, he's one of my favourites.
You mentioned him to me today, didn't you? Yeah, you like him.
Yeah, bless him. Because he passed away himself.
I can see that influence in your style, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, 2008 he passed away from bone cancer.
Ages ago now, isn't it? Yeah, it seems like it was only recently. Yeah.
And it's a long time ago now. It's shocking, but and it's
did you read any other sort of comics to help your style, or, you know, what sort of influences that speak to you, Susie? Is there anything in particular, writing and drawing style, I'm thinking?
Michael Turner, obviously, definitely. He's a definite one. J. Scott Campbell, in a way. I was saying earlier, and Andy Park, definitely Andy Park. It's no secret to anyone that knows me, I'm a massive Tomb Raider fan. Tomb Raider fan. And that I'm very late into this comic book thing, because that's where my journey started, when there was a Tomb Raider comic book on the shelf, and I just absolutely ran for it. I was like, what the hell is this?
The Top Cow universe.
So that's when I really first started sort of reading and getting into it. So I suppose, you know, Michael Turner and Andy Park were my first sort of...
Because I can see a little bit of Michael Avenoming in your work, actually. There's a little bit of the touch of that to me.
I'm going to Google him right now.
he's a guy who does Powers, the comic Powers with Bendis.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I really like his stuff, yeah. Because you're not sort of super realistic, and you're not sort of super cartoony, are you? There's a border there for me with your work, I think. A good one, you know.
Thank you. I'm just checking out that Powers. Thank you very much. That looks good.
I was wondering about the writing, because, I mean, there's a couple of comics out there about people who've suffered, you know, cancer, aren't there? I'm thinking mostly Harvey Pekar, who did My Cancer Year. Have you read that at all?
I've not read that one, no. I've not read one at all, no. It was more by sort of like my friends. There's a guy called, sorry, Matthew, if I say this wrong, Matthew Paul Muhorta. He done a series called Cancer Owl.
Okay.
Which was really, really good. And it was sort of influenced by him in a way, I guess, because he wasn't afraid to say what he was going through.
Yeah, I think Harvey Pekar similarly is very sort of honest and open about what happens to him, you know, really, you know, sort of painfully honest at times, I think, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And the other one, I haven't read it fully. I'm waiting for it to get delivered, actually, but it's Nista, and it was by Shira Thema, and the art was by, I might pronounce this wrong, Joseph Rubenstein.
Oh, yeah, Joe Rubenstein.
And they done a graphic novel in 2013 about a group of heroes and sort of going through all different things and variety.
All right, I've not read that.
I mean, I'll put a little review up once it gets delivered, and I'll you know, pass it over. But so I'm just waiting for things to come through. But yeah.
did you train as an artist, or did you just, it was a hobby, or have you done had any training, or?
Yeah, I went to art GCSE and graphic design.
Right.
So I've got A and a B. So that was a good start.
Very well done.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Gold star. Yeah, I then went on and done a national diploma in graphic design, and then suddenly realised that's all about typography, and I'm like, no.
Yeah. Right, not for okay. me.
It's like, oh no, no, no. It's, don't get me wrong, it's an absolute skill. It's a major skill, but it's not for me. So then I went on and done a national diploma in art and design, which was obviously much better. We were doing life drawings. Can I go off on a tangent about life drawings?
Yeah.
All about Tony, tangents on this show.
Yep.
I'm sure you'll appreciate this one, Tony.
why me?
Oh, God. Buckle up, folks. Here we go.
You've listened before.
Well, there were two occasions. So I'll do the first one, right? It was just basically this lady came in and she was absolutely stark as top to toe with just a feather boa in her hair. So already at this point, trying not to, you know, laugh my head off. And she lay down right in front of me. So I, you know, I had the end. I thought, you know, I thought, her legs are together. This is great. This is going to be fun. She opened them. I was like, oh, no. And I had
alert.
It was terrible, terrible. And then the second time was poor bloke. We were drawing movement and it was a bloke this time. And obviously he was moving around and everything was kind of swaying a little bit, you know. Yes. And we had some steps and he climbed up just like a pool, like 2-3, you know, steps. Yeah. And he was climbing up the steps and he fell, bless him. The steps cracked and it was just bum, bollocks, the lot in the air. Yeah. All over.
Did you manage to capture an image and draw it as he fell?
I'll tell you what.
Just do that again. I missed a bit. Just do it again. Yeah.
If someone fell over in their clothes, you kind of no problem helping them. But when they're naked, it's kind of
I don't want to be touching bare skin.
Oh, come on.
If I
already have a title for this episode,
man.
It would actually be called Bum Bollocks the Lot.
Yeah. We, when I first did life drawing, we had this dude called VJ, and his knob was massive, I've got to say.
it was like
a jumbo can of Shaw with like an apple on top.
But he used to always fix
the ladies who were kind of a stare when they were drawing him, and it was like, this is really off-putting.
I miss it though. Do you miss life drawing classes?
Well, I tried to go to the ones in Orbital, and there's a couple near where I work, and I've said this many
really
times to people.
Drawing classes, Dan?
It's kind of figure drawing, but you've got to kind of to improve your game, artist of the game, life drawing. It's brilliant,
right?
I can't recommend it enough. But
if you need to concentrate on how a ball sack looks,
in motion.
Yeah, those areas always be quite undefined in my drawings.
Yeah. A comic needs three things.
Yeah,
a comic needs three things: bums, bollocks, the lot.
The lot.
Yeah. Tagline for the next book.
I noticed in your review section that Daniel has given you a very highfalutin review. I was very impressed with it.
Yes, much appreciated. Yeah, very kind. Thank you very much.
What word did I use? And you had to look it up.
Oh, I had to look it up. Hang on. I haven't got my phone on me.
What was it?
I'll have a look. Hang on.
Okay.
You have to talk amongst yourselves.
I was
drawing
deep on my...
you're not talking about the word.
Dictionary corner. Yes.
Aplomb, that's it. Yeah, I didn't know what that meant.
Here's the quote for you, folks. From the moment one starts to read Periwinkle, it quickly reveals the passion and drive of its author. A fantastic comic which tackles a subject that needs facing, and Periwinkle does so with aplomb.
Speaking of South Bank.
See, I've said for all the years we've been doing this podcast, come to me for the pull quote.
It's funny, you see it in text and it's written like that, you hear the actual words from the man's mouth, it's like, the knob was massive.
Yeah. And then suddenly it becomes Stephen fucking Fry 2 minutes later.
That's just the multiple personalities.
Yeah. Force. The many faces of Vanguard.
Excellent.
I do notice that Periwinkle and Vanguard have a similar sort of layout and a website. in terms of like webcomic stuff.
Yeah.
I think you both use Comic-Easel.
Yeah, I've got Dan to thank for that, because I had no idea what I was doing. he helped me out big time. So
to be fair, like doing the kind of, I kind of had to learn that stuff from scratch, and I'm not really too much of a techie myself. But doing the kind of WordPress and installing Comic-Easel is relatively simple. I mean,
right,
if you can fucking do Facebook, you can do that. It's not that bad. Okay. So yeah, nice instead of like you hosting your own, like if you go on like Topastic and stuff, yeah. I think we've done this kind of before, but there was already a built up audience on those kind of big platforms. But
yeah.
When you do your own site, you've got like 100% control. You can do what you want. And
how have you built your audience? So is it any particular way you've decided, all right, I'm going to try and aim for this sort of crowd, or what have you done?
It was basically a case of Twitter, Facebook, right. Trying to refer friends and family, but I do a lot of charity work with it. I'm also a member of the Lymphoma Association, and I am also now a Bloodwise ambassador.
Oh, I saw that on your page, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm really honoured for them to have given me sort of that title. I'm really,
Did you want to explain what that was, Susie, to those that don't know?
It's basically just be a representative for the Bloodwise charity, you know, to go out, do the charity collecting, talk about it and raise awareness of that. And, you know, I was just doing it anyway. So for them to come and give me a title like that, I was absolutely over the moon. And then we also had a letter come through the door. I'm sure, Dan, you saw my excited video from the Lymphoma Association, and they said we were nominated for a Beacon of Hope Award for the work that we'd done raising money for, because we've raised about $5,000 for charity.
Nice. Yeah, well done you.
And yeah. Oh, thank you. And yeah, and so that was an amazing day. We went down to we went down to the Houses of Parliament. And they hosted it in there. And they had, I can't remember her name. It's on the blog. Sorry. It was a lady from Radio 4. And she presented the awards and it was lovely. And I met up with Helen. She's another lady that I've met. Lovely lady. We've become really good friends, actually, Helen Webb. So she'll be listening. So hello, Helen.
Oh, nice.
She's also a survivor and she raises and does so much for charity as well. So I think.
Yeah.
That audience as well to get in, because the ultimate intention is to get the comic book out there and helping people.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that next, actually. I was going to wonder, because you obviously your first obligation is to the Kickstarter people, isn't it? So you'll be sending the book out to them. And what are the plans beyond that for the book? Are you putting feelers out to publishers, or are you going to print some more yourself, or what's the sort of plan?
I would love to put feelers out to publishers, but I'm not sure if it'd be something they'd pick up. I don't know, but I'll try. But the idea is I get so many copies for whatever the budget is that I have, you know, the Kickstarter budget, and then that's it. I'll send them out, sort of divvy them out, send them out to you know, like the local hospice and stuff down here, the hospitals in Stoke Mandeville, etc., all around, and some of the people that the Kickstarter have suggested, you know, hospitals and places for them to go to, and any that are left thereafter are just going to be sold. And then I've said about I'm still toying with it. I'm hoping to maybe do a bit more, but 20% of all the ones that are sold will go to charity.
Brilliant.
But I might bump that up a bit more. I'm in an iron about that at the moment, just because obviously with the cost of website and things, I need to sort of cover my costs a little bit somewhere.
Yeah.
Also, because you know, I made
a book. It should be in as many hospitals as possible, wouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, it should be. You know. Yeah, and doctor surgeries and, you know, all sorts of places,
Yeah, it's just something that, you know, a kid can pick up. Because the symptoms as well of the lymphoma are so similar to just having a cold. I know that sounds really silly, but it's so similar. And I don't want to go too depressing and too deep or anything here, but, you know, I had been unwell for about 6 months and no one even knew. I just thought I was getting colds. I just thought, you know, I keep getting chest infections, things like that. And they just kept throwing the doctors. Also, it's hard. It's well known that it's hard for the doctors to even diagnose this because it looks so similar to other things. And they just kept throwing antibiotics at it because they just thought it's an infection. And what happens is your white blood cell count just increases over time.
Okay.
And then all the other little things start happening. So I started losing weight, which I was so pleased with. I was just like, God, I'm eating your sushi. And it's just, you know, I was like, what's going on? I'm stuffing my face with your sushi and McDonald's and I'm still losing weight. What? I didn't even think about it, you know. And then, you know, I started to get like very itchy and things like that. And then this lump came up on my neck. And it was there. And even at that point, they were sort of like, oh yeah, don't worry, it's just going to be a little goiter or a little lump, you've got nothing to worry about. And I said to them, should I worry about cancer at this point? And they were like, no, you're fine. And then it wasn't till I went to the doctors a couple of weeks later, because I was still feeling rotten. She explained, I just happened to cough. And she sort of said, how long have you had that cough for? And I said, I've had it for quite a few months. And she put in for an x-ray, and the x-ray and the scan on the lump were on the same day. And then it turned out that these two things were, you know, relevant to each other. And then, and the tone just dropped, because I was laughing and joking about Eugene, which is my lizard, with the guy doing the scan. Love my lizard. And then the tone in the room just dropped.
Really?
That was the scary part, because I was in there on my own. Chris was outside in the waiting room, and he just said, we need to stop and talk about you for a minute. And he said, I think he didn't realize there was a sort of a mass there. It was a blood, he thought it was a blood clot at this point, which it was. I had a blood clot in my neck, which is quite unusual. You know, someone did a leg or something, not your neck. And then he went, I'll go and check your chest x-ray. And then they said there was something on the chest x-ray, and that was it. I was in hospital that afternoon. Right. And it was just so quick. And then we got to the hospital, and the hospital just sort of said outright, you've got lung cancer. And we were like, what? How is this possible?
Out of the blue like that,
You know, I'm 20 blooming years old or something. I've never smoked in my life. I was just thinking, how? And it was actually Chris, my husband, while I had to go for a second x-ray, he actually bashed into the doctor's room. He said, is there anything else it could be? And then they said, oh, yeah, it could be this, and this. So they hadn't really given us the full information. So then I went on and had further biopsies and stuff like that. And anyway, it turned out to be Hodgkin's lymphoma, the words of my doctor were, if you had to pick one, that would be the one to pick. And I know that sounds awful, but they were my doctor's words, you know.
A good doctor is very sort of straightforward and honest with you, I think, aren't they? And you know, I tend to believe stuff like that when they say it, you know.
Yeah.
And they're practiced at what they say, and they're very learned people generally, aren't they? So to say that, it's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
It's a difficult position, because I presume some people would say, like, I want it straight, and then you don't know how they're going to take it when you do, if they do tell them that. So, kind of hats off to them. It's a job.
Yeah.
Must be so hard as well. Must be so hard. But I mean, I can't thank my oncologist enough, Dr. Pattinson. He was fantastic. Well, he is. Say was. He is, because obviously I still go for checkups and things like that.
Yeah.
I found
the first page of your comic just probably the most impactful page, because that's where your comic starts, isn't it? You're seeing that suddenly that it's hit you. You know, this is what's going on. You know, incredible stuff, Susie. Really, really well done.
Thank you. Yeah, I thought it best to start from there. No one wants to know about all the doctors bit, do they? bit is going to be the... it was just... I think we freaked him out a little bit, because obviously all along we were told lung cancer. And then on the day we went into... It's the first time we met him. And he said, I'm very, very sorry. I'm very sorry to tell you have Hodgkin's lymphoma. Chris and I actually went, yes! You know, we went, yes! And it freaked him out, and he sort of like, he felt comfortable enough to joke with us from then on. That was great, because again, he helped. It just became, you know, we had a laugh every you know. One of my second chemo was Christmas Eve, so you know, I went in a Christmas hat and a Christmas jumper, and it was just just trying to make light of everything that was going on. So, and again, you meet such a... I know you, they say it, but you do feel like you're part of a club.
Yeah.
It's like you're part of a club. Mm. You know, you can just phone each other up and they, you know, they, those people truly understand what you've been through. I'm going deep now, sorry. I'm going to make
it's kind of like a shared experience.
Yeah, shared, exactly.
And it's just lovely that like the likes of Helen to be able to phone her up and just, if you say to her, you know, oh, I'm tired today, she gets why you're tired. I know people mean well, and they'll sort of say, oh yeah, I'm tired. One of the things that does affect me now is something called it's chemo brain or chemo fog, which is where you get forgetful because of what's happened to you.
Yeah.
And it could be permanent, it could be temporary, we don't know. But it's just basically I have to write everything down, like I've got loads of notes next to me right now.
That's good for a writer.
Yeah, so have we, to be fair, Susie. Yeah, because I'm extremely old, I get very forgetful. Yeah.
But it's just, yeah, just things like... But, like, I know people mean well. I know people mean well when they say things, but when you speak to somebody who's gone through it, they really know.
Mm.
So they're going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
You know,
do you think there's room for... Do you think there's room for more sort of art techniques to be used to help people get through stuff? Do you think... You know, are there art classes for people, or just sometimes just expressing how you're feeling through writing or art or whatever it's going to be, you know, helps, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Do you think there's room more for that? Yeah.
Absolutely. And there were art therapy sessions that you could go to, but they were so far away. It was sort of, they were in like, you know, to be fair, that the hospitals that had the more money, they were the large hospitals, you know, like the Oxford and John Radcliffe, and they had, you know, big cancer sort of areas and buildings, and it was all there, but I you're too ill just to be traveling all the way to, because you obviously have to get that park and ride and things like that, and you've got to be careful, because what happens, you'll because you're having chemo every 2 weeks, you lose your immune system.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And so you can't go traipsing around outside.
No, you've got
some
really
scummy
careful.
Bus. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, because I was in hospital for a week at the end of it, because I went neutropenic, which meant I completely lost my immune system altogether. I had none. So I was in a sort of solitary confinement, as it were, for a week. And what happened was, unfortunately, because the chemo makes everything all sort of be nails and brittle and soft, I got an infection in my nail. And something simple as that, I was in this hospital bed for a week.
Wow.
And it was just sort of, so that's where you have to be quite careful. But I think maybe like an online thing. In this day and age, could there be an online, you know, maybe like modules
like or something
could do?
Yeah,
just something that, you know, they could follow along, do at home, and then from, you know, they don't have to go outside or anything like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think some of that would be quite interesting.
Well, I mean, when you were in the hospital and stuff, did you actually do like much drawing actually when you were in the hospital?
No, no, it was more no, because the thing is, you were it varied from arm to arm, because I never. They said we're going to keep going on your arms until they can't take any more. They didn't really want to put a port in, so they were. Just a bit too achy and too sore.
Right.
Sort of. And obviously you had lots of wires and stuff and you were plugged in, and then the nurses would come along and check everything as well. And it was just sort of, I just sat there and watched Family Guy in the end. Which, obviously I was in the ward of a lot of older people, and some of the jokes were a bit borderline. I thought, no, turn that down. You can't say that. So... but it was when I had the you know, that Friday and that Saturday, I had those days before it kicked in. It's almost like you knew when it was going to kick in. It became a routine.
Mm.
You knew exactly what your body was going to do and when.
This is a lesson to all those freelancers out there, isn't it? You know, with your very poor excuses for not completing that page this week.
Yeah.
You know, Susie was had a 2-day window to get it done, and she was cracking on. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. It's really good.
I mean, this whole comic project is a testament to you, actually. Yeah. I mean, not just like the artwork process, but you know, just you've gone ahead and done it, and it's a very honest project as well, which isn't the easiest thing to be, is it, with a comic, and to also be quite heartfelt, but like I said again, also fun and uplifting. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I will also say that, I mean, Tony brought up the first page, but just the facial acting on that first page says it all. Even if you had no lettering on that first page of the comic, you'd know exactly.
Yeah, you would, exactly. Very true. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
We like your book. Stop saying thank you.
Yeah. I know. I get told that all the time. I know. I'm working on it.
Have you ever spoke to anyone else who's done a comic, in regards to sort of an illness or a problem they've had? Have you ever chatted to any of the other? Because there's a few books out there, aren't there? I know we've certainly talked about a few recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just Matthew again, one of the primary ones that I speak to. Bless him. He had, sorry if I pronounced this wrong as well, colorectal cancer. And his is, I definitely recommend a look. It's sort of, it started off as just these hand-drawn sketches in the sketchbook.
Is this the cancer owl you were talking
this
about?
This is cancer owl, sorry, yeah. Right. Yeah. And he holds absolutely nothing back. Mm. It's really... Yeah. Really good.
I just looked on the website. It's really great stuff.
Oh, check that out now.
Yeah, have you got it? Yeah, and just the colours he uses as well, just to represent things. And you know, you'll have, he'll have that them holding up little signs and things. It's just like, some of the things he has to, like what not to say to a cancer patient, and he gets it spot on. He gets it spot on exactly how you're feeling, and it's definitely one that I think could also benefit from being in a hospital somewhere, just for somebody else to read, not necessarily the patient, but for somebody else to have a look at and say, oh, well, this might be how that person's feeling today. Because I've seen that a lot around the internet at the moment, videos and this thing behind what not to say to somebody.
Right.
And that seems to be a thing at the moment. I don't know whether that's just me that's noticing that or not. I don't know. But
right.
I think that would be a good thing to and he's saying that, and I think that's really, really good. Mm. Really good. So
I'm looking at it now. It's really, he's got a really interesting style, isn't he? Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to read for a few days.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, they're brilliant. It doesn't hold back. So big shout out to him. He speaks for a lot of us, I would say. Definitely.
And also having that, you know, there is a sense of humour, you know, is the honesty's there, but the humour sort of helps it, doesn't it? It helps it get out to a wider audience.
It's a very British way of dealing with stuff. I feel like sometimes that the British kind of sense of humour of when we laugh in and when shit's going wrong, sometimes that can be taken the wrong way. And so I think as a nation, we've got quite a dark sense of humour.
Yeah.
But...
Exactly.
I'm not quite sure where that stems from, but we'll laugh in the face of adversity, and when everything's going, especially we do it at work, when everything's going tits up and you make a joke about it, that's just the way we kind of deal with stuff and get on with it. Otherwise you've got to actually face up to how fucking horrible it is, and making a joke makes it so much easier.
But also like all good comedy, like they say, there's a thin line between comedy and tragedy, isn't there? But you find that even this works with TV as well. The greatest comedies can be hilarious, and then they'll just throw a moment or an episode that will just knock you on your ass. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you watch Uncle recently? Have you been watching that on BBC Three?
No.
Uncle, no.
There's a series
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Check it out. It's really funny. Really funny. I can't remember the guy's name now. That's going to annoy me. But he does like these songs in between the bits of drama and acting in the middle, but I don't want to spoil it now, but basically the his sister gets hit with the news she's got cancer, and it came out of nowhere, just like you're saying, it came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden it got very serious, and then he sung a song. It was basically, you know, excuse my language, mother, fuck you, cancer. Mm-hmm. And he sings
whole song. I've heard of this.
And then one of my friends, lymphoma lass, another great lady, she's battling lymphoma at the moment.
She's also a superhero as well with that name, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
she's awesome. She is a superhero as well. She's another one to give a big shout out to her there, because she's been her chemo, same thing, she got lymphoma, but the chemo affected her bones and she broke 5 vertebrae in her back.
Oh God.
She's been in a wheelchair, bless her. She is a strong old thing. But while she's been in a wheelchair, so she's been doing crochet for charity, and the Lymphoma Association have also picked that up, and Bloodwise. So you can buy her little crochet badges, and the money goes to charity.
Brilliant.
Okay.
You have to send us a link, and I'll put it in the
I've got the, if I'm all right to do that.
Yeah, of course you are. I know there's an embroidered cancer comic that I think Singing Dragon put out as well.
How do you mean embroidered?
It's rather than drawn, it's embroidered.
Oh, wow.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
That is patience, isn't it? That is,
yeah. I know. God.
Presume there's one issue of that.
Yeah, don't expect
so that's one monthly. Done. Now for the next
499.
What?
Yeah.
God, don't.
So I really recommend Singing Dragon. I know we talked about it briefly earlier, didn't we? But I'd really recommend them because nearly everything they put out is a sort of self-help in relation to sort of illnesses and psychological problems and stuff. But they put out a lot of graphic novels and comics and stuff. And we've talked a lot about stuff they put out. And they put out Pain Is Really Strange and Trauma Is Really Strange by Steve Haynes and Sophie Standing, which is the launch that Dan and I went to.
Yeah.
And that's about dealing with pain and dealing with trauma and stuff. And there's some really interesting stuff they're doing. In fact, I would say probably in the sort of small press and indie scene, there's a lot of comics at the moment that are helping people, aren't there? We had an example of it today on the Twitter, didn't we, Vince?
We did.
Yeah.
We also had a couple of polls on the Twitter. Should we have
those? The polls.
We put a couple of simple ones up. First one, has a real-life issue in a comic ever helped you with something affecting you personally? And that can be all kinds, isn't it? I mean, you know, I've certainly heard stories of mainstream comics having a certain storyline that's affected.
Yeah, people. Definitely. Mm. I think all the good big companies have done that, haven't they? You know, you look at the Marvel comics that dealt with all the issues. You only got to look at the X-Men, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, and see the sort of, you know, outsider issues and racism and all this sort of thing. You know, the issues they've dealt with, and they certainly help people. I think, you know.
Yeah.
Marvel used to do like kind of info ones where it'd be like a page of some guy talking to some kids and Spider-Man would come along and
there's been various ones done about, you know, don't smoke and this sort of thing, Stranger Danger, and there's sort of another Teen Titans did a drug special, didn't they, years ago? Good on them.
And one of the more recent ones, I haven't read it much, obviously Jane Foster in Thor.
Yeah, I was going to say about that. Have you seen something? The drawing on that's amazing.
Mm.
Okay, I haven't read that.
What's the storyline in that then?
Well, spoilers for we're probably going to spoil a certain story point here, but obviously there's the female Thor. And that's what you find out eventually. That's. Shall I just go ahead and spoil it? I might as well.
Yeah, go on. Yeah,
I've already given people ample warning. That is Jane Foster. Jane Foster has also she's got cancer as well, hasn't she? I think.
Yeah, breast cancer.
You know, and she's not doing too well. So you've got that sort of juxtaposition of, you know, she's suffering from cancer, but she's also one of the most powerful heroes in the Marvel Universe. You know, that's the... I mean, I can't say too much, but I haven't read any of it.
No, I've not read it either, no. I probably would catch up on it, I think,
I mean, I know certainly when it came out, a lot of people go, oh, that's a bit of a cop-out that it was her. But what I just said there, that storyline just sounds so interesting, the things you can do with that. So I definitely need to catch up on that. Have you read any of that, Susie?
Not all of it. I've read bits of it, but the front cover, I think, for me, just the juxtaposition of the two things. Yeah. I don't know if you think, so she's kind of standing there. I'm not sure if it was a cover, it might just have been a poster, to be honest, but you've got her standing there, Jane, at the bottom, you know, with cancer, she's you know, bald head, the gown and everything, and behind you, behind her, she's just got the huge, you know, it's just such amazing. Again, you don't need any text on it or anything like that. It says everything it needs to say. And then when you're looking through, they've got the panels with the chemotherapy and things like that, and the machines, and then it there's a panel and she's just sat there in the chair and she's cold, and it does make you colder, but they just, the way they've done it, they've got it absolutely spot on.
Right.
I don't know who drew it now.
Is it Oliver Coypel? Jason Aaron, I think, Coypel.
Yeah.
Drew some of it because he's been a Thor artist for quite a bit. I mean, they have like
he's doing the other Thor, like, isn't he, at the moment? Yeah. I think he's doing the male Thor one. Yeah,
they have like an artist for 6 issues every time, don't they? So there's probably been 3 or 4 different artists. But I think it's definitely a storyline to check out. And it's interesting to, definitely. I mean, obviously with your experience, Susie, it's interesting for you to say they get it spot on. Do you know what I mean? You know?
Yeah.
Definitely. Whereas I think, I don't know. I mean, it's funny. The other one, that Mary Jane Watson one that they did,
right.
Spider-Man. I think they've tried to make it funny, but it's not. I actually find it a little bit offensive. But someone else really? Might not. But
what's
apparently
that story,
they,
then?
Yeah, well, I'm not familiar with this one.
I was only. I haven't read it, but I've read the blurb. So I'll read you the blurb, right?
Right.
So it says, most comic book portrayals of cancer are realistic and powerful, but not all. Sometimes the absurdity of comics infects a subject that deserves serious treatment. It goes blah blah, goes on like that. When an older Peter Parker holds Mary Jane Watson's lifeless body, he exploits the doctors didn't understand how it happened, how have been poisoned with radioactivity, how your body slowly became riddled with cancer. I am filled with radioactive blood, and not just blood, every fluid. Yikes. Peter Parker killed Mary Jane with radioactive semen.
Hang on, what?
Hang on, right.
Yeah.
Hang on. I've never heard this show actually be speechless.
I told you, it's sort of funny, but it's kind of offensive. So, well, Spider-Man killed Mary Jane Watson with radioactive semen. Gave her cancer.
Normally,
with that.
That's the sort of thing that we'd make a joke about. We'd probably make a joke about that in this show. In a self sort of deprecating
way.
You can
make a joke, it's fine.
Yeah, but where does that story go?
I didn't read anymore.
Yeah.
I thought I'm not even going to bother picking it up.
Yeah. Got to cure Mary Jane from Spider-Man's radioactive semen.
Yeah.
Great.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What on earth? That's like, I don't know, my opinion almost ridiculed in it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what you think, but.
You thought the Clone Saga was bad? Check this out.
But then you've got the likes of, you know, I don't know, I'll go back to Deadpool, he's popular at the moment, but you've got that, like that, and they do it properly. It's jokey and it pokes fun at everything, but it's done well.
Yeah.
You know, and Constantine as well, you know, he's got Bruce. Lung cancer, and they do that well.
Yeah, that was very good.
I just think they're way off the mark with that.
Strange choice, isn't it?
That is a strange choice.
Anyway, the poll.
Right. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. That's what I love about these polls, is they get us talking, which is brilliant. So in terms of, has a real life issue in a comic ever helped you with something affecting you personally? 64% said yes, and 36% said no.
Who are these fuckers who said no, grumpy bastards? Cold, heartless people.
it's true, considering I think it's very interesting when you put it up against the results of the second poll.
Okay.
Which, has a real life situation or issue in a comic book helped you better understand what someone you know is going through?
Right.
Once again, yes and no. But this time, 76% said yes and 24% said no.
Okay.
Wow.
And
we got
just,
the details.
Just to say, I love the polls.
No,
they start
poll.
Conversation. That one seems to kill us dead.
Yeah.
So we had a comment on this one from Simon Russell at Simon at Boeing. Always gets involved. Good lad. He said, lots of great comics about life of others in the undergrounds when they weren't porn or dope. Coming out stories were massive.
There's a lot of underground comics about porn and dope, aren't there? Let's face it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
That angle's covered.
Yeah.
Don't need any more comments about
that. We've done that to death, as much as I say. Peter Bagg's 4-year comic about masturbation, I think, probably did it, didn't he?
Yeah. You know?
Oh, God.
He's got that base covered.
Yeah.
Jesus. He also said, and things like inner city romance or potential or ambush Ambush Bug were about people I knew.
Oh, I hope he does know someone like Ambush Bug, because that is like a crazy comic. I loved Ambush Bug.
That is mental, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah. Deadpool gets loads from that, I think. You know,
definitely. It's good. It's definitely a character that's kind of like taken. It's that type of character for this age.
Yeah, definitely. That was,
and in a few years time, there'll be another one.
Yeah, there will. Yeah, definitely. Okay. Good.
Good.
So,
what's the second poll, Vince?
I've already said the second poll, Dan.
Oh, I thought that was the first poll.
No.
Sorry.
Keep up.
Sorry. Just stay on top of the poll game.
Don't say that.
We got bullied because we hadn't had polls for a while, and then we put another two up, didn't we?
Yeah.
People were saying, where's the polls?
So basically, you know, we are being...
See, old Brexit, innit? We've all lost them all.
Yeah. Don't believe the pollsters.
Please cut that joke if it's racist. I don't think it is, but...
Yeah. We
did. I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, Vampirella moment back again.
Yeah,
you know this kickoff. You know this kickoff at the moment around this Vampirella cover that's all going off. And
yes, I do know about it.
Letters in their own blood, apologising or trying not to. The if only they heard our Vampirella joke from a few years ago. Sing of that.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah, it'd be fine, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Good thing no one listens.
I don't heard that one. Can you repeat it? Are you allowed?
We'll send you the clip of audio, Susie. Yeah.
Yeah. Can't beat that.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It was a classic moment from Leamington Comic Con 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can remember the moment listening to it. I was standing on the platform waiting for my train, and that came along, and I was fucking doubling over, standing there laughing.
My favourite bit was the fact that me and Harrow and Vince couldn't look at each other while we were talking, because it was just like ruining it.
If you think about it like this, it's useless audio, because it's just three people just laughing at each other.
Yeah.
Oh, the end night out with you three is really good.
Oh god, no, it's not top fun. Yeah,
it's rubbish.
we got our slippers on by about 10 o'clock, and we're drinking cocoa.
Dan's saying controversial things, and Tony's out back somewhere with his radio. Oi,
don't want to know.
Oi, just have a go at Tony episode. Even the guests.
Yeah, the old Vampirella cover. I just don't get that at all.
God, I don't know. I
feel like kind of a show should be coming up about that, but I think it's such a divisive issue. Well, at the moment, it's very hard to talk about getting someone's back up, and I think that in itself is a problem.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's like it's a race now to be most outraged, isn't it? It's like a race to be outraged about the most petty stuff.
When if we can't even discuss it,
the fucking window. Yeah.
Yeah, if we can't even discuss a subject without it getting people's backs up, it's like fucking hell. This is a problem.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. There's a few people out there that need a pair of bollocks, to be fair. Apologies, Susie, for saying that rude word.
Yeah.
Took 87 episodes, but we're finally getting apologies out of Tony Esmond.
At least you know the number.
As you mentioned, then, it's fucking people running around with chainsaws, and you're kind of getting worried about two lines off of the front of a comic book.
Yeah.
So come on.
For anyone out there who isn't aware of what we're talking about, and I won't go too much into details, but Dynamite Comics, they're releasing a new Vampirella issue.
Yeah.
It's a variant cover.
It's a variant cover, which is in the real sort of old pulp style, you know, those crazy magazines. If you've ever followed Pulp Librarian on Twitter, you've seen many of the who I recommend you follow.
He's a great.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
The cracking, the crazy book covers you used to get from the 50s and the 60s onwards. Sometimes you just look at it and you just think, what? That doesn't make sense. How did they get away with that? Well, their new Vampirella sort of variant cover.
It's a parody, a pastiche.
It does that. It's a parody, and it's kicked off. It's a Paul Cornell written issue, isn't it?
Yeah. Trouble is, it's so spot on, it's so well done, that it could have been pulled straight from that era, and the offence is being taken because it's displaying the attitudes that were on display at the time.
Yeah, we've got a trans person at work, and I showed it to her, and she laughed.
Yeah,
well, I said, right, no agenda. What do you think of that? And she just laughed at it. Yeah. People have got a sense of humour. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I think.
We live in a society that's very quick to outrage. And,
yeah.
Fuck knows what they think of this show.
I think anyone who needs to know, just go and watch Paul Cornell singing Wuthering Heights on YouTube. Oh, that'll cheer you up.
Right.
Put that in the show notes, Vince.
Yeah, we'll put the link to that. For that. Yeah.
Yeah. Back to the part. I mean, has anyone here actually sort of read an issue that, as the poll said, like, you know, it covers an issue that you didn't necessarily know too much about, and it's really sort of highlighted and informed you about?
Oh, God, yeah. I don't think maybe an issue I didn't know about, but more something that it brings it home to you a bit, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds you of stuff. We talked about Not My Shame by T.O. Walker a few weeks ago, didn't we? And then and the impact that comic. Oh, my God. You know, we all know that this, you know, the truth of, you know, being a victim of sexual assault, what it's, you know, we imagine we know what it's like. But to read the first-hand account of someone who has been in a comic form just, like, absolutely brings it home, you know.
Yeah.
Very strong stuff.
I've got that from comics and books when you think, I could have a vague, like you mentioned, Susie, you think, oh, I'm tired, and you think, oh, I've got a vague, I know what tired is. And then when you actually read someone's account first-hand of what they're kind of going through and that, it's like a sledgehammer, and you realise you don't know anything.
Just listening to you there, Susie, that's brought it home again. You know, people need reminding the reality of things sometimes, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, I think pain's one of those things when people say, oh, really, really, it was really painful. You think, people go, oh, yeah, it's really painful, like you had a toothache or something. No, it's not like that. You know, the reality of the true sort of feeling and stuff. Sometimes, you know.
Nothing seems that bad anymore. I know that sounds really, like, bold statement, but, I mean, like, the worst thing, it sounds daft, but the worst thing out of the whole lot was losing the sensation of taste. No matter what you ate or had, I was having like Fanta lemon and lemon sherbet and everything that you could possibly think of, like spicy, nothing. I could taste nothing. Everything was just like cardboard.
Right.
And that was the worst thing out of a lot of it. And it could put more of a frustration.
Yeah.
So, and just like, I had like pains in my legs as well. So that's why I wasn't getting much sleep. So anything that you get now, oh, you've got a sniffle, oh, you've got a cold, it's like, okay, yeah, fine, whatever, just get on with it. Just get on with it. But if I could be so bold and just have to say, I think also partly it does make you less sympathetic to others.
Okay,
and that's something that I think that needs to be worked on as well, for me anyway.
Yeah.
Because, you know, someone comes up to you and said, you know, oh, I've got really bad toothache or something like that. And, you know, for them, that is really sore. That is really bad. But for you, it's like, okay, yeah, whatever. But that's something that, you know, I find myself doing, and I almost have to backtrack and sort of go back and say, oh, you know, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry you're feeling that way. Mm. And I think, you know, that's something that's not spoken about very often. And I think that maybe, you know, I know it's a bit, you know, because I don't
understand,
like, I'm a heartless cow or anything.
No, I mean, it's emphasized. I mean, like you say, you're just highlighting a very genuine, it's going to sound quite harsh when I say it, but a human failing that everyone has. And it's very natural, and I totally understand where you're coming from on both sides then. You know,
Yeah, exactly. Have you read Viripathy by Andy Poyaji, Susie?
No, I haven't. No, if you could send me the links and stuff and the names, and I'll have a look, definitely.
Yeah, it's a sort of sci-fi comic that Andy's done. He's a really thoughtful creator and a friend of mine. And he's done a sort of slightly in the future where you put a helmet on, and it's used by all different kinds of people, you know, relatives, doctors, nurses, physiotherapists and stuff like that. And it's where you put a helmet on and you feel the feelings of the other person and what they're going through. Really clever idea.
Mm.
Yeah, told in a sort of almost like a mini comic, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Something to extrapolate.
When you're describing it, I immediately thought of that scene from Demolition Man when Sylvester Stallone.
Always back to
the famous sex scene from Demolition Man.
Yeah.
Quality
film.
That freaks me out.
And I'm going to be completely honest, I still don't understand the shells.
No, I don't.
Can you believe it, Dan? They don't understand the shells.
Don't understand the pre-seashells.
Is it meant to be for, like, poop or something? I don't know.
I think there was someone that did kind of like a little infographic. It's just one of those things, like, you're not supposed to know. Yeah, like we're in the same thing as John Spartan. We don't know what the three seashells are.
I always think that seashells are probably too small, aren't they?
You don't know what they do. They could kind of like laser it as it comes out, or
oh wow!
Hang on, are you talking?
Or it's in the future, isn't it?
Laser seashells. Jesus.
Well, it's supposed to be like high advanced technology. So you don't know how what it does.
Oh, okay. They need to full on land mine.
And to be honest, no one wants a laser anywhere near their bubble.
Yeah.
Used to be like Family Guy, you know, in their episode walking down the street, Brian, and he says, "Oh, I need to go poop," and you just hear this hop noise and it like goes to another dimension. And he's gone, it's done. It's done and dusted. It's like nothing about it.
Yeah, interdimensional toilets. That's our water.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We've done full circle, come back to toilets.
Yeah, exactly.
We never leave it for long.
Scat based chat.
Yeah. Scat chat, brilliant. But that's what this show's, you know, hopefully we highly recommend that everyone out there checks out Periwinkle and similar sort of comics. Cancer Owl especially. Thank you for bringing that
to mind. Yeah, I'll certainly be reading that. Yeah.
And thank you very much, Susie, for coming on, and not only that, but being very honest and open about everything.
Yeah, definitely. Well. Yeah, it's really educational for me. I've got to
I'm going to say thank you again.
Don't run off. You're not allowed to run off yet.
No. Okay. Not going anywhere. I don't run, darlings. I don't run.
That's a comic creator for you, isn't it? So definitely check out Periwinkle and more. And it's been a great chat, but there's still more to come. Likewise, I think we've all got a few shout-outs this week, haven't we?
We have, yeah.
Who wants to start?
I'll start, because I think it's one that all three of us are going to shout out, and it's last week's guest, Jay.
Yes.
Who's sent us absolutely phenomenal prints through. I've been away with work this week, and I got home tonight to discover them, and they're absolutely beautiful. And anyone who hasn't checked out last week's episode, go and listen. And most certainly check out Surface Tension, which is a fucking revelation of a book. I've got to tell you, so good.
It's really good.
Yeah.
He's a genius. He's an absolute genius. I didn't know about it until I listened to the podcast last week, but it's absolutely stunning stuff.
Yeah, amazing.
He's been posting stuff up in the awesome comics chat on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'd recommend you get involved in that, because there's a lot of stuff he's posting up, which is really interesting and...
He's just put something comics. Up. He's just put something out about laying out a story. I'm not on Facebook and Twitter this week. I've come off in the grumps, but he's just messaged me say to have a look at it, and I just did, and it's really educated. You know, really good idea of how you lay something out. Yeah, definitely.
Because is that the Island of Dr. Moreau pages he did?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
To which I responded that if he ever did a Shadow over Innsmouth comic, my head would probably explode. Thank you very much, Jay. The prints, on last week's show I was talking about how I'd love a print of like one of their Surface Tension covers, and now I have it, and I want to cry a little bit, but that book's brilliant, and I love that a lot of people have been introduced to it as well, because that's one of the reasons that we do this show, so people who don't know about work like Periwinkle and Surface Tension and more, check it out.
Really good. I've got one other which is also a guest from a couple of weeks ago, which is Jason Atomic, and I finally got down to the Beyond 2000 AD exhibition at Orbital Comics, and it's more than you think. Actually, it is a real experience. So it's not just comic pages from 2000 AD, it's also fan magazines, fan art. Jason, I think he talks about it on the show. He was in a 2000 AD themed band. He's got covers of that, covers of other sort of albums. Really, really interesting exhibition. One of the best I've seen them do, and they do some great stuff in there. Really good stuff. So head down to Orbital. I love Orbital. They're my local comic shop. But they go above and beyond for comic fans, and this is a real example of it. Great stuff. Really good stuff. Yeah.
Awesome.
They're my ones.
There you go. Dan, have you got any this week?
No.
Ah, well, there you go. Lovely. I know Susie's got a few, but I just want to thank everyone who was very kind about... I mean, I I kind of pitched a new idea on Twitter.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah.
Earlier
yeah.
today. For something that I'm going to work on later on in the year, which is a sort of a dryly sarcastic comic about a cat psychiatrist.
You doing a comic about a cat? This is like
well, they say, write what you know.
Perfect timing. Yeah. this is from our failed pitch to Pat about Vince's cat army.
Oh yeah. 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 That went down so well though.
Yeah. So. It went down like the Titanic, Dan. Pat.
It went down like one of our panels.
Yeah. Hey, they're only getting better, Tony. Come on, our panel's going to be good. But yeah, thank you for the positive response. And so I'm going to start planning. I've got some great ideas for it. It's not going to be, there's not going to be explosions. This isn't going to be a big monsters and, you know, fighting sort of comic. But yeah.
You want to try to write you a few psychoanalytical statements, don't you?
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
I do actually have a quick shout out. Chris Imber.
Oh,
he's been posting up some new work, and that background, Vince has put it there.
He's a
fucking hell. The background he's working on,
he's a beast, absolute beast.
Yeah, I've seen some of the work him and Vander are doing as well, and that's equally as good. That's
Vander's, yeah, he's absolutely killing it. He's really doing well. We did. He kind of like said, they said like, this is the Operation Boom comic. Brian's taking that style on with his own flourish.
Yeah,
and it's great. It's done a brilliant job.
Yeah, they're a match made in heaven. Yeah, I hope they get married one day and I can go to it.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
That'd be lovely.
The Reckless Hero Boys are doing really well with what they're doing. They've kind of got their niche and they're doing it.
I think, I think
they're moments from being picked up as well. We were talking about this earlier, weren't we?
Second half of this year, I think stuff will start coming out, and like, you know, you'll hear a lot more about Reckless Hero.
Yeah,
in 2017. But there you go. Susie, you've got a few shout-outs, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got three. So just a very quick one to Raynard City. So it's just to say they're doing their Kickstarter at the moment as well. So just to check them out. I think they're relaunching it with Will and everything. It's looking pretty good. That was the first quick one. And then I have two ends of the spectrum. I have one sort of quite sort of dark book, and then one very funny book. So,
right, okay. So,
so is this your recommend,
this
Susie?
Is the recommend.
This is my recommend.
All right.
So, the guest is going to go first this week.
That's all right. Yeah.
Actually, I think that should happen every week.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Mm. Go, Susie.
I was just rude and jumped the gun and just doing it anyway.
She don't give a fuck. It's her show now.
Yeah, we all know the title. Balls, bollocks, and all that crap. So I'll start with the dark one. I say it's dark, but it's Auschwitz, which is by Pascal Crocky. I think I'm saying that right. I don't know if you've seen this. It is a black and white sort of illustration graphic novel portraying the situation at Auschwitz. It's not as good as Mouse. It's very, very short, but the artwork is absolutely stunning. And it is quite a difficult read, and it is very short.
Yeah, as I imagine, something like that would be quite a difficult read.
Yeah, it is a difficult read. Mm. So I wouldn't say it's not one to like. You're not going to like it, but it will stay with you.
Mm.
And it's something that I've read that the imagery in it, I've never, ever forgotten. And it's we have it here at home on the shelf. It's just something that, just to remind you, I think you should read and look at every now and again.
And books like that are important, aren't they? You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, happy-go-lucky, something you're pulling off the shelf every 5 minutes, but it's still important, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
I know Marvel did a really good job of cover. Did anyone ever read the Magneto miniseries about concentration camps?
No.
Anyone read that?
I heard about it.
Incredibly strong stuff. Yeah, that was also very good. Yeah, sorry, Susie, interrupted.
No, it's all right. No, you carry on. But saying that I think for me, it's got to really make you feel an emotion, and that's just one of the things that has stayed with me. That book. Check it out. Check out the artwork, and you'll see what I mean. and then the complete end of the spectrum is Sarah Scribbles. Has anyone seen Sarah Scribbles? Sarah Anderson?
No.
Absolutely hilarious. They're just little, like, four-page...
I've seen her stuff.
Single page panel. So funny. It just has me in absolute fits. I think it's probably more for women, I imagine, this. But it's just...
Comics are for everyone, Susie, come on.
How dare you?
Is this the black and white one?
Yeah,
it's just little black and white drawings. But some of the stuff that she does about, like, dare I say the word, periods and things like that, it is bloody hilarious. And she just has us howling, absolutely howling when I'm reading these comic books. And she's just, her timing and her sense of humour, she just gets everything spot on. So if you need a pick-up and a laugh, it's definitely one I'd recommend. And she draws it really well as well.
She's got a hell of a following, if I remember correctly, as well.
Big time. They're always being shared. You see people sharing them on Facebook all the time. But then I picked up I've got a book in front of me now. I've got it in my hand. I just picked it up and it's just absolutely cracking.
Is it a webcomic that she's collected?
I think it started off as a webcomic and then she's just then put them all together in the book. The book is called Adulthood is a Myth.
Oh, I have heard of this.
So, I mean, I'm just trying to find a decent panel. I suppose this one, so there's I'll have to explain it to you. But it's just her in a little panel. She's eating ice cream in a bubble. I feel pretty today. And then this absolutely stunning, you know, beautiful young lady walks past. And then the next panel, she's just ugly as sin. And, never mind. It's just stuff like that. It's just it's just exactly what it feels like. I'd recommend just having a look. It's very funny.
Nice.
Yeah,
I remember reading that. That's highly, like you say, it's completely different ends of the spectrum, isn't it?
Yeah, it's complete polar opposites, but you know.
Nice. Who wants to go next, Dan or Tony?
I'll go next, shall I?
Yeah.
So in the same way that you love cats, you know that I love dogs.
Yeah. I love dogs too, Tony.
Yeah. Well, Stan loves you, doesn't he? Because I might put that picture of him sitting in your lap on the Facebook page.
Oh, we're best friends.
Good one.
Yeah, best friends. So I'm going to review. It's a combination. I think it's a joint enterprise between the comic book Slumber Party and Avery Hill, and it's a book that I've been meaning to review for a couple of weeks now called Deep Space Canine. Have you guys seen this yet?
I haven't read it, but I've seen it.
No.
Seen it
about. Yeah, good. It's really good, actually. Really good. It's got a great cover by our friend Kat Chapman, who put up with me interviewing her when I was drunk that time. really nice cover, really impressive cover, and the main, I would call it an anthology, but it's slightly got a twist on it because it's one through story that is told. There's the main story is told by Beth Wood, who does so incredibly well and with real humour. And then interjected in amongst this are other artists who take part in the story as well. And it's basically about a space woman, space person, who is in a space station and loses her knickers. and she's got a sort of robot companion. And they spend the time like looking for her knickers. And she says she doesn't want to lose them because they're her favourite pair. And she says they're comfortable, seductive and luxurious. And it's just bits of it just made me laugh. Like there's pubic hair that sticks out the side of her pants and stuff like this. I think she's got green hair, as I remember, because she's a sort of alien dog type combo. And she says they're a badass pair of knickknacks this side of the galaxy. So it basically is the story of she has a look for them, look around the space station, can't find them. Then Honey Parast, who I wasn't aware, sorry, Lucy Haslam takes over the next bit, and she goes down onto a planet, and it's a sort of real chaotic style Lucy has. It's sort of real sort of painterly, pastely style she's got to her art, and it all doesn't go very well on the alien planet. And then Honey Parast takes over. Between these are little interjections of Beth Wood's work, if that makes sense. It's a little linking chat. The chapters are linked by little stories by Beth in this overall long story. And Honey's got this style that if you looked at it, you would think it was photographs of sort of, you know, when they make clay into stop clip animation. Does that make sense?
Mm.
It looks like drawings of that. It's really strange and quite engaging. The next section is done by Jen Woodall, who's got more of a sort of straightforward sort of style. And they go down off the planet, and it's a sort of flashback sequence, and they go and kill a load of people who are trying to steal their booze. And then Becca Tobin tells this sort of splash pagey section where the main character gets pulled into a water tank, and there's a bit of a fight. And then Lies Meddings, she does some sort of illustration work in the, I don't know, I'm not a graphic designer, but what are the pages called just inside the cover? They're not part of the story, but they're sort of illustrated. Does that make sense? And on top of that, you'd put the credits and stuff like that. So there's quite a lot of design work, I suppose.
Okay.
Is what you call it, around that. There's all sorts of craziness going on. There's like pizza monsters. The sidekick robot is called Cybernetic Unit, normally for troubleshooting. And as she's sort of being pulled in underwater, she's screaming out, trying to scream out the whole name of this robot so it'll come and help her. But it's quite a mouthful. There's a sort of, creature?
That Cybernetic Unit? I just realised what that spells.
Yeah.
did you realise that before?
No, I did not. No.
Say, what's his name again?
Cybernetic Unit, normally for troubleshooting. Forget the four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Very good. Then the robot's got breasts, sort of weird robot breasts. So that makes kind of sense. What's that thing in Return of the Jedi that almost eats people in the desert?
Sarlacc.
Sarlacc. There's a sort of Sarlacc creature that eats the looters who are stealing their booze. And there's sort of universe-hopping, pants-stealing dogs, all sorts of things. It's got this clever sort of through line of a story. Avery Hill always good, aren't they? Do you know what I mean? They always produce good stuff. But for me, it's Beth Wood's pages, by far my favourite, and the cover by Kat, which is lovely. The lettering at moments is a tiny bit too stylized, I think, in a couple of the segments. They almost make it... I was reading it. You know, lettering is only good when you don't notice it, is the old story, isn't it? We're always telling each other. It kind of... little bit over illustrative, I think, a couple of times on the letting, but it's got a certain style to it. You know, it goes back, it's got like a Freak Brothers style to it almost occasionally.
Cool.
They're smoking weed and, you know, this sort of thing. Don't do drugs, kids. it's very irreverent, very sort of chaotic, very anarchic, good fun, well worth the price. But if you go to averyhillpublishing.bigcartel.com, you can get a copy. Or follow them on Twitter. Well, you know, we're all pals of them. Avery Hill and then PUBL. Avery Hill PUBL is at on their Twitter. Yeah, very good stuff. Really good fun. There goes one.
Nice. Dan, do you want to go next?
Sure. my one is Planet of the Demons, issue 3. I've reviewed every issue of this going along so far, so I'm going to carry it on. This one's 3 of 4, and the tension and atmosphere is really ratcheting up. It's written by Kevin Gunstone, art by Paul Moore. Sorry, Stefan, I'm going to murder your name again. Art, colour by Stefan Mierkjanic.
I think that was fine, mate. I think you got away with that. Fine,
yeah. Yeah. Published by Malacca Studio. Lettering by Malacca Studio. The blurb of the comic is, in the occult realm of the Krippeloff, the Puritan magistrate Amos Dethridge serves as jailer to the demons who cast a sinister influence over Earth. Amos meets a succubus queen, and together they, with the demon Salas, they go after the mighty lord, Count Eligos. Like the previous issues, it flashes back to where Amos is now in this kind of like purgatory, and back to his life in Salem, and you start to piece together how he's ended up where he is, and in his little town where he's the kind of the magistrate. There's some backstabbing and shenanigans going on, basically, and the issue leaves on a real cliffhanger in both time periods, where in the kind of the when he's in this purgatory, the hell where he's the jailer, he's in a real slack alley, and back in Salem something's really bad's gone right for him, or bad for him. Then it's a real cliffhanger for the last issue in the series. It's really weird. I can't go into too much about spoiling it, but there's some real kind of touching moments of kind of peril, and you really feel for the guy. And he comes across very much as a real person, like a normal guy. He's not got superpowers. He's not fantastically strong, fast, whatever. He just seems like a regular guy, and he's got this massive task of looking after the key of the underworld. And essentially, if he falls and this key falls, all these miseries are going to be sort of unleashed on the earth. So he does have a bit of responsibility on his shoulders. Yeah, and in the end of the episode, that's kind of in jeopardy. So it'd be interesting to see what happens in the next issue. And as before, the artwork, the colours, the writing, it's all fantastic. It's really just
very on point, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. Kevin doesn't quite know when the issue's going to be out, but it's relatively soon, since I'm holding a rough version in my hands at the moment. But definitely check out this comic. They'll have a table down at ICE in Brighton, which is in June, I believe.
Yeah, it's really shaping up, that ICE, isn't it? Yeah. There's loads of guests now for that. Yeah,
you've got Pat Mills. There's a slew of writers. I managed to get my hands on Pat Mills' book today.
To it, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Is he? Oh, yeah. Wow, okay. Nice
we can ask him about radioactive semen.
Yeah, check out ICE as well. It looks like said it's shaping up to be an absolutely fantastic show.
Shane's a good guy. He organises a good company, and a friend of ours.
I'm looking to go down there myself. So
there you go. Nice. All the stars will be out.
So, yeah, and me.
We'll expect you to get audio down if you're there.
Yeah.
No, Planet of the Demons though is quality. Great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
Vincenzo.
Yeah. I've got. A couple of ones here. First off, I want to talk about, I'm not sure if I've mentioned it on the show before, it's one of my choices, but Worry Wart by Danny Abrams. I brought up this one. Came out in, what was it, a couple of years ago, I think 2014. She brought it out. And this is on the back of the book, this is essentially what it is. When Danny Abrams was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder in 2009, she turned to her most loyal friends, comics. Unable to make sense of her worries alone, she took pen to paper and began to draw her deepest fears, publishing them online as she explored her diagnosis. Rendering her nightmare enabled her to remove herself from the dread, analyse her despair, and transform her panic-inducing memories into humorous, colourful, and brutally honest cartoons. And Worry War is essentially that. It's essentially a collection of this blog, the blog post she did while she was, you know, she's going through therapy and finding out about her condition, etc., and dealing with anxiety. And so it's not so much a comic in the in the strictest sort of structured sense. It doesn't have a storyline going through it, but you can clearly there's a flow to it. There's definitely, you know, from all the posts and stuff, and it is brutally honest and funny as well. I mean, we had if you go back to the Bristol Expo special, Danny talked a little bit about it on one of the interviews, and you can tell.
Yeah, she's very funny, wouldn't she?
You can tell from that. Danny Abrams is a hilarious person who's basically like a pocket rocket. She's like just so much energy. Ooh. So to get this, not like that, Tony.
I'm looking pocket rocket up on Urban Dictionary.
Oh,
here we
go.
Oh no.
That section's coming next. You know, but Worry Wart.
Right, Mum, log off now.
No, what Worry Wart.
I apologise to Susie's family and friends.
Yes, we apologise for everything.
Sorry, I interrupted. Carry on.
It's not the first time. I'm used to it. No, Worry Wart is a brilliant little book, though. I remember after I read it for the first time, after I got it, I just thought, in terms of comics, it was one of the more important ones that I had read, because I know anxiety, you know, isn't something that I necessarily had like an understanding of. I wasn't one of these people that were like, just get over it. You know, some people jump to those stupid sort of conclusions, don't they? But I didn't really have an understanding of it, and I know people who have suffered from it. But to read how Danny's like how describes how she feels in this book, and you know, the diagnoses and like the therapies and stuff, it was fascinating. And it's certainly, as we said in the poll, you know, if I had voted in the poll, which I don't normally do, I would have said yes, I have read something which has helped me understand more what another person's going through. You know, Danny's one of those people who's like, she thinks it was a book that helped her, and she thinks it, you know, she likes the fact that other people liked it, but very humble as well. But this is, I mean, it's a brilliant book. I'm not sure if she's still got copies left. I'm sure she has. So if you go to bintykins.blogspot.co.uk, you should be able to.
Did you just look at your WhatsApp then and laugh, or have you seen it yet?
I saw part of it earlier, so trying to put me off with everything. Oh dear god, we're gonna have to describe that one as well in a minute. Stay tuned for after the credits, folks. That's all I gotta say. So Worry War, definitely check that out if you haven't already. Danny is now more an animator than making comics. Which is a shame. Well, it's great because she's doing great animation. She did a little animated GIF of the Red Mask reading comics once.
Oh, of course she did. That was great, wasn't it?
Yeah. But I'd like to see more stuff like this as well, you know.
And she got some nice comments on Twitter, didn't she, today about her comic helping people as well, which I think was nice.
Yeah.
You know.
And likewise, in the book, you know, she points towards sort of organisations that help. You know, if you read it and you want to find out more about the therapies and stuff, there, you know, it points you in those directions, which I think, if you go talk about issues, I mean, you've said it many times, Tony, like, if you talk about an issue, then you should really point someone in the direction of where to go afterwards.
Yeah, if you're going to kick off about an issue somewhere on some website or Twitter, then at least do the good service of sending someone somewhere they can get help for whatever that issue is.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Fair point.
Yeah. Mm. So, Worry War, and I just wanted to give a little mention to, and I mention it all the time on the show, but The Fix, issue 7 of The Fix came out this week. It might be one of the only comics that as soon as I see it, it's immediately bought and immediately read. It would be the top of my read pile, even though it's digital, so it's not really a pile. but the Fix is amazing. It's the end of an arc, as it says. And within the first five pages focus on Pretzels, which is the hero dog of the story. And the storytelling in those first five pages, it shows you the life of this little dog who went from being sort of unloved to becoming the most heroic police dog that there was and where he is now. I'll give no spoilers, but it tugs at your heartstrings and makes you laugh out loud as well. And it certainly sets you up in a position, because, like I said earlier, the comedy has gotten you to a point so that when there's a certain bit of drama, you're really invested in these characters and where it's going to go from here on out. And you really sort of, even though it is a book about bastards, you're rooting for them in a crazy kind of way. So, yeah, if you see The Fix and you haven't read it yet, I would probably say you need to read some issues beforehand. It's not a jumping on point. Certainly, that, you know, the first five.
There's not been that many though, has there? Do you know what I mean?
It's seven
to catch up on.
Yeah,
yeah,
and definitely you can go back and check it out. Get the trade. I know a few people have picked it up after reading the show, but I love The Fix, and if you like the humour that's on this show, you'd be right up your alley.
Yeah.
It's proper wrong. So there you go, and it's been an interesting show, hasn't it? And we've got even more.
Indeed.
Do we want to do it pre-credits or post-credits?
I think it might be a post-credit moment from the one I've just sent through. Yeah.
Okay. So if you want to hear Dan's Urban Dictionary Corner, then stay tuned.
I've got a feeling there's going to be quite a long post-credits sequence this week.
there probably will be. Susie can't wait because she learns... every week.
I have never learnt so many rude words in my life.
I feel absolutely ashamed of myself.
That's what we're here for.
No, but it's like I said, it's good because I look cool. Well, I go somewhere and I say it, I actually look cool, so it's fine. Carry on.
I bet someone loves this show.
Yeah. I tell you what, folks, does this show make you look cool? Well, there's several different ways you can let us know.
You can
email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, if there's any events or anything we need to talk about, or books, etc., tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Use either of those emails, and we'll share it amongst ourselves, like some sort of sexy virus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the end of the show. It's all going crazy.
Yeah, it's working
seamless.
Well.
You can follow us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod. And like us on Facebook, facebook.com/AwesomeComicsPodcast. And join, or ask to join the group, Awesome Comics Talk. We will let you in. Don't worry. When I say ask to join the group, we'll let anyone in.
We let anyone in. Yeah. That's true.
There's no dress code. some great conversation going on there. And you know, the guests of the show and likewise other people who have been on in the past, they probably get involved on that. So
yeah, some great stuff on there at the moment.
Keep the discussion going, so that's brilliant.
There's even some opportunities if you want to write a comic or draw a comic. People have been posting up stuff like that as well recently.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
We're bringing people together. Like
that's us.
Like Cilla Black.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say Cilla Black. I knew that was where I had a feeling that was where you were going with that one.
I don't know where else would I have gone with it. I can't think of anyone else that brings people together.
What, ex-hamster?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Sometimes multiple people at a time. So I've had.
Oh, dear. Dan Butcher.
You're so bad.
Our very own multiple man. Thank you for listening to us. Whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, leave us a review. We've had a couple of nice ones recently, and we keep them coming. Because we truly, truly appreciate it. Thank you for listening to us, whether it's on the Stitcher Network and the Podnose Network. And where can people find us online and beyond, Mr. Esmond?
Well, a little bit of an announcement for me. As well as finding me on Twitter at Ezohyz, or in Down the Tubes, where I'm writing reviews, I've also just signed to do a column probably once or twice a month with A Place to Hang Your Cape, which is going to be called Sequential Cynicism, which we really like. We knocked that title about a bit. So if you go to ap2hyc.com, probably as of, I would say, the week after next, something will be there full of venom and piss and vinegar that I'll have written.
Is it a mature content?
Nice. It will be very mature content, So probably not written by me then, in that case.
Is it like one of those sort of articles, like, you know, like Charlie Brooker used to do, where it's just some person ranting at the world?
Vitriol.
Yeah, a little bit. It was coined by Sarah Harris, friend of the show, as my falling down style. Which I kind of like that. Yeah, I kind of like that as a comparison.
That's the second falling down reference I've heard this week.
Really?
Where was the first one?
Someone in work said he had a really bad moment he was going to do a falling down scene inside a restaurant. I was like, yeah, old school reference, good. Yeah.
And just quickly then as well, Leamington Spa Comic Con is coming up in about a month. And we're going to be doing a panel there. Please come along. Please buy some tickets. We'll be there. A load of our pals will be there. It should be a right laugh. And also, I've had a little heads up that we are now partners at Nottingham Comic Con, aren't we? So we're going to help to promote that. So
I'm
really looking forward to that. Kev messaged me this week. I was going to say, if the launch of your book coincides with that, Susie, and you got any, if you can't make it, if you've got any books, extra books you want to sell, then we've got a table there. We'd love to sell them at the convention. So let's know.
Oh, smashing. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you.
Very good. Okay, that's all mine. That was quite a chunk, wasn't it?
Quite a chunk. Oh, there's a joke there somewhere.
And Danny Dyer for Doctor Who. Sorry, in case anyone had missed that.
Danny Dyer for Doctor Who.
That'd be fucking brilliant.
No, it wouldn't.
It would be.
No, it would be brilliant because you just want to watch the world burn, Dan. That's what
every Dalek, mug them off, mate. They come up. Yeah, mug them right off. Those Daleks will be fine.
You're having a fucking laugh.
Yeah. Don't give me all that. Killed exterminate lock.
You look like a fucking bin.
Oh my god, write the script now.
This writes itself.
We've got to do a one pager for that, dude. Oh my god. Yeah. You look like a fucking bin, you mug.
Yeah. Oh dear. Anyway, Dan, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com. I was quite slow.
Like a good kiss.
Yeah.
Go on, try doing it quicker, Dan. Go on. Try it now.
Okay. You can find me at Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at VanguardComic.com.
Yes.
Oh. That's better.
So far, my favourite.
Nice. Yeah. We're going to get to a point where it's so fast where no one will understand it and they won't be able to follow you online.
That's better. Fine.
Fuck him.
We don't care. It's the end of the show.
No.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmassfrommars.com. And Susie, where can people find out more about you and beyond?
So Twitter is at Susie Gander, but it's Susie, not Suzie. So it's technically Sussy Gander. And then it's www.perrywinklecomics.com.
Nice. No one's ever called you Sussy, though, have they?
No.
Yeah, I've had everything. Really? I've had Sushi, Suzuki, Suze, Whatever the thing, yeah. Sussy. I've had someone call me Mississippi for some reason, which didn't even make any sense. Whenever you phone up and they ask for your name, they always say like Gandalf. It's like, no, it's not Lord of the Rings, is it? It's Gander. And then you say like the goose, and then they just hysterically laugh. So you keep
I get Osmond. I get. Can I speak to the Osmond, please?
Oh, I've had that with my name, Butcher. How the fuck do you get that wrong, Butcher?
And anyone who writes to Mr. Lamb, can they only refer to him as Lambo from now on?
Yeah.
I'll be breaking the news to him tomorrow when I see him. But, yeah.
You're going to be a popular guy, Tony.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, thank you for listening, folks. It's been another cracking show. Let us know what you think in the comments or the Twitter, etc. But as always, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics. Look forward to the next show. Like, we know you're going to. You love it. You can't get enough. And as always, stay awesome. See ya.
See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
Okay, right, so the Urban Dictionary. I know you've been waiting for this, like, for 2 hours, haven't you, Susie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. This is why I came on.
Okay, so I inadvertently stepped on a landmine during the recording of the show, and I said, pocket rocket. Yeah. So
I need my phone. Right,
I immediately Googled it.
Over to Dan in Dictionary Corner.
I was just going to say, me reading this out, it's not an endorsement of these practices, and nor does it relate to anyone on the podcast ever have done this.
Did it twice.
Yeah. Pocket rocket. Doing or having a pocket rocket is masturbating or wanking stroke jacking off inside one's own pocket. Simply accomplished by reaching into the pocket of one's trousers, also known as a stealth wank. Can be performed in public if user has mastered the technique. This is an easy was to please oneself while staying anonymous. The spelling errors in this article is just unbelievable. Yeah, it says, the example is, guy one, dude, why are you pulling the face? Guy two, we have liftoff. Guy one, oh, no way, pocket rocket. That's fucking mental.
It brings the whole word. I thought stealth was about an airplane that went rogue.
Yeah.
And I really want to hear him say this.
But act it out.
So, yeah. Okay. The next one, Susie, is.
This is rejected, Dan's Dictionary Corner. But we're going to do it.
Rejected.
It's going to be bad if it's been rejected. It's
beaming Shatner off the Enterprise. Yet another colourful colloquialism. Taking a dump, beaming for the act of evacuation, Shatner, as in the past tense, to shit, shat, and off the Enterprise, denoting out of the anus, as in the prize to the Enterprise.
Oh, sorry, I didn't quite get what they meant by that.
Yeah. Not to be confused with beaming Dr. Bones onto the Enterprise, the act of anal sex.
Oh my God.
The example they give is, man, your mum's cooking is so bad it had me beaming Shatner off the Enterprise all night.
Oh, and the worst part of that is they misspell Shatner, which really upset me.